Condon, Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Miller and Condon on a Friday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM, just past 10 o'clock here on a Friday morning. Trent Condon, Ken Miller, take you until noon on the BMW of Des Moines guest list today. We're going to say farewell to a guy that's been a part of the program for the last few years, Alex Halstead. You had him before I did. Of course, 24/7 Sports and Cyclone alert.com. And Trent, he built that site to what was, what was the kid who preceded him? Todd?
I don't remember.
Yeah, he went to Scott, maybe? I can't think of it. But he got it back going in the right direction, and then Alex took over and really built that site up. And this is, if you're a Cyclone fan, this was not a good week as far as recruiting news. I know Bill Seals has taken over the rival site, Cyclone Report, and I'm sure that they'll do a good job as they have such a good deep database over there. But man, Halstead really built up a following at CycloneAlert.com, so remains to be seen how 24/7 Sports puts it in place, but they've set the bar pretty high. He has left Dylan Montz 6 weeks ago, seemingly. Right. Yeah. Alex Halstead now. So a couple of Cyclone beat writers moving into other vocations, both getting out of the media / journalism business.
It's a blow. A guy that I always enjoyed our conversations, a guy that certainly knew the recruiting game very well, was at the games. He did the work. Mm-hmm. He put the work in. Yep. It wasn't just sit in front of the TV and watching games. He made road trips. He did those things. And
at practice, after every practice during the fall football, when they get the coordinators to get the players, he hustled.
Yeah,
he
absolutely hustled. And I'm sure he'll do great work in his new job, but going a different way of life. And this is something we see continually with young people in this profession making the decision. Money's not great. You're looking forward.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what kind of... I'm sure he gets a percentage of subscriptions, right? I would think.
And how that's set up? Well, yeah, now that he's not there anymore, I mean, we're not going to ask the absolute particulars,
right?
But how that works for the rivals, the 24/7s of the world, is it a certain cut? Is it a certain percentage? If you hit a benchmark, does that mean more money in your pocket? How that works for these people? Because you see also a lot of turnover that has happened throughout the years, and we've seen plenty of that too.
Yeah, we really have. That's for certain. So we'll hear from Alex Halstead and have him in one last time. He's actually already started his new job, but he's going to take his coffee break.
There you go.
And join us at 10:20, 10:25-ish. High school baseball is going to be there's going to be more focus on high school baseball, more attention paid to high school baseball in the state of Iowa than, I don't know the answer to this
possibly
question,
ever,
right? But it seems like it.
Since Jeff Clement chasing the national home run record, and speaking of that national angle, it's not just going to be the parents and the families of people watching games. This is going to be the country is going to be watching how this goes in our state, how it's going to be done. I mean, I would guess that there's going to be people from national broadcasts.
Oh, opening week, absolutely, for sure. If Iowa maintains its place first, and as of now, I mean, June 15th, I don't think we've seen any other state that's willing to or has come forward publicly and said we're going to start then. So if Iowa indeed is the first state to have high school sports back, yes, the national media will pay attention to this story.
NBC is going to say, hey, we're going to need a little B-roll. We're doing a national story here.
Yeah.
So, Sears, get out there. Get us a little video for this. Same thing, KCCI and CBS.
Yeah,
and
KCCI lost one of their guys. Did you see that?
I don't
watch any of the locals.
You're not a local news
Nick
kind of
Tabbert,
guy.
Is that
Yeah.
Nick Tabbert's gone to Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he took a gig at, I'm not sure.
What station?
Eau Claire, maybe?
All right, yep.
He's going to be sports director there. So, I didn't know him and don't know his work, but a lot of people are sad to see him go.
Yeah.
According to the people that reached out and responded to his announcement on Twitter. So, best of luck to him. So, there's an opening at KCCI, I guess, for the time being. You know, one other thing, since we're talking sports media, meant to mention this yesterday. I know some people remember him, most of our audience maybe not, but Chuck Shockley, a guy who worked down the hall at WHO and did a lot of high school stuff. Him and Jeff Kahn, Mike Newell, they teamed up to do a scoreboard show. And Chuck Shockley had a booming voice.
Oh, yeah.
Like a booming voice. I think Brinson was jealous of Chuck Shockley's voice. But Chuck Shockley worked here at WHO for, I didn't know him here, but I got to know him at the Jock.
Okay.
Once the Jock had moved from Indianola, and it was under the Bob Dyer era of Bob running the station, and Chuck was our update guy for, I don't know, a few years anyways. And
yeah.
Nice guy, nice man. But he passed away, I guess. And it wasn't COVID. It was the other big C, sadly, that takes so many people up. But a lot of people remember Chuck Shockley in this market. If you've listened to, you know, WHO in the period of the 90s, or you might remember him at the Jock, but Chuck Shockley passed away. I think he's a little bit older than me. Not certain, but I'm pretty sure he was, you know, a few years older. But just a booming voice.
Oh.
One of those voices, once you hear it, you know that, oh, that's Chuck Shockley.
It's good to have those.
Yeah, I'll never know. Neither will you.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not even close. People know my voice, but booming has never been the word used to describe my voice.
No, and that's...
annoying? Yes.
Yeah, I get that from time to time. So anyways, rest in peace, Chuck Shockley. Here's something that popped into my head since we got off the air yesterday, Trent. And, you know, we talked about Jamie Pollard, his announcement over his virtual... tailgate tour that they had with Cyclone fans a couple of nights ago. And then we've seen Gene Smith and we've seen some other athletic directors come out and say, yeah, we're going to have fans in the stands, but we're going to limit it to 20 to 30,000. We're still looking for that number, what it's going to be. But there are going to be a certain number of fans that make their way into college stadiums on Saturdays and Fridays, I guess, and, well, one Thursday during college football season. But point being is, if college football is willing to do that, I have not heard about the NFL. You know, if the NFL, football is going to have fans, why wouldn't the NFL, to an extent, put, I don't know, half capacity, 25%, but why wouldn't they? And why wouldn't Major League Baseball? Because we're hearing all the medical experts now that have, you know, studied this disease, the scientists say, outside's the best place. You know, get outside, blow the stink off you. You know, it's the summertime. Why wouldn't the NFL allow at least some fans into the building? Major League Baseball, same way.
Well, and you have to figure that the parameters are going to have to be different for each stadium, too, if that's the case. You look at a place like retractable roof stadiums, Miller Park.
Skydome, Rogers Center.
Rogers Center, Safeco.
Uh-huh.
All right, we got to close the roof tonight. Instead of
Houston,
letting 15,000 in, we'll let 10,000 in, or whatever it is.
Right.
I'm sure that's got to be in place. And same thing with NFL stadiums, ones that are open air in comparison to the ones that are closed up. You have to figure those conversations are going, because we've heard varying numbers of the percentages, how much money comes in from ticket revenue. Some sides say, you know, it's upwards of 60%. Others say
it's not that much, but yeah,
it's more in the 20 to 25% range. But wherever it is, you're taking that away. And if you're taking that away at a big level, I mean, this comes back to what we're continually hearing about Major League Baseball and the back and forth that happens there. Because when the initial agreement came to the two sides back in March, it was, well, we'll see. If there's no fans allowed, we're going to have to do something different. But for the here and now, this is what we're going to do. It doesn't make sense financially for the owners, too. And that's something when you peel back the books. Is it worth having to pay ticket takers, letting people in, concessions, janitors, everything else that goes into it for 10,000 people in a 40,000-seat stadium? Does that make sense to do that? Or is it just financially, let's just close it for everybody?
Well, you know that somebody's crunching those numbers trying to figure out if indeed that's the case. So maybe that's the answer to it. But boy,
and it's also coming back earlier. You know, we're talking about football that's going to be starting in September as opposed to baseball that we anticipate, same thing with NHL and NBA, July.
Right. Speaking of the NHL, and this kind of has a trickle down effect. Let me get the note in front of me from yesterday, and this involves the Iowa Wild, and I'm assuming that they're in the loop on this. So the official announcement is going to happen apparently this next week. It will be 24 teams, as we said yesterday. Top four teams in each of the conferences will get a bye. Bubble cities are playing. The early round will be on the RSNs. If you're a, I guess your Wild playoff game will
Fox Sports North.
Fox Sports North, Fox Sports Midwest for the Blues. Of course, in the second round, the Blues will play the Jets.
Oh, Already got that lined up, huh?
Yeah, Jets get by the Flames. That's actually kind of a weird series. Atlanta version 1.0 versus Atlanta versus 2.0, because the Calgary Flames were originally the Atlanta Flames.
Thrashers.
And the Atlanta Thrashers became the Winnipeg Jets. So that's weird, but nobody cares. So let me move on. But
okay.
Where it involves the Wild.
Yes, the Iowa Wild.
The Iowa Wild, right. Next season, apparently, is not going to start. Stanley Cup's going to be awarded in September, which is weird.
It is.
Really weird. And then the players will get a couple of months off with the schedule set to resume. Next season will start somewhere in the first 2 weeks of December, which means if the NHL isn't playing until December, the Iowa Wild are not playing until December. Neither are any of the AHL affiliates. So there's going to be a lot of open dates. I mean, Chris Connolly's got some dates he can fill. And I'm assuming if the NHL is going that way, the NBA is going to end up going that way. Which, what does that mean locally? Well, that means, what does that do for the Wolves? Will they start? And they normally start late November anyways, do they not?
Right. But that gets pushed back. In the NBA, we've continually heard...
Christmas Day.
That's when a lot of people start actually watching the NBA, even though the regular season's been going on for a month and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And instead starting at that point and pushing everything back. And then the other question becomes, for Wells Fargo Arena, as you're pushing everything back, as you start those concerts usually late spring, early summer.
And more than that.
Now you're going to have those covered up because you're going to have hockey and basketball inside the arena.
And three pretty big important weeks inside the arena that they've, the Wolves and the Wild vacate because of the state tournaments.
So that's going to be pushed back. Now you're looking at what? I mean, NHL, or D-League season, G-League season, and the AHL into certainly May, if not June.
I would think.
Maybe even July.
Well, the NHL, here's the other caveat from the NHL. Next year, they have to be finished, what's the date I've got in front of me here? By July the 23rd, they have to have the following season complete, because that's when the Olympics are supposed to start. And the NHL in the States plays on NBC, and NBC is the big television distributor for the Olympic Games. So all of NBC, NBCSN, CNBC, what's their other one? Does MSNBC carry the Olympics? I don't know if they do or not. And I know CNBC does.
But that makes sense, yeah.
So the NHL is going to have to be finished by July, so I don't know. Anyways, a little local news regarding to the Iowa Wild, if you're a fan, and I'm assuming that they're aware of that, and I'm assuming Chris Connolly is, but this came yesterday and thought that was worthy of passing on.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday, NHL with the 24 teams. The NBA continues to be dead set, though, that they're going to play these regular season games, at least some of them.
Why would the Timberwolves come back? Why would the Warriors come back?
You know the answer to any. What's the answer to everything?
Money, sure.
And because of the way the contracts are written in the NBA and with the regional sports networks, they have to get to a minimum of 70 games in order to hit the benchmark to get their full share.
Right.
Because of that, the Wolves have nothing to play for.
Right.
But...
And maybe that's the reason the NHL's first round of the playoffs are being parked on the RSNs.
That makes a lot of sense,
because they've got money problems, too.
Yeah, and probably the same kind of thing. We have to have X number of games.
Yep.
That's the direction you have to go.
Interesting, Trent. We'll see. They'll sort this out now. Major League Baseball, that's the last one to sort out with the... The opinion was is they had to have something in place by this weekend. I don't think they're going to have anything in place by this weekend. I know they continue to negotiate. Tom Glavine, many people have come out and said, you know, this is a bad look on the players if they don't come to an agreement. But I think it's more than the money, right? They're being told that they can't shower in their locker rooms after the games.
No sunflower seeds.
No sunflowers. There's so many things that you no community water sharing devices, whatever you want to call them. And that's the same as high school baseball. So anyways, back to the BMW Des Moines guest list. Craig, we'll get you 1 second. The head coach of the Johnson Dragons is going to be part of the show. Michael Barta will join us at 10:45-ish. Johnson Dragons will be a factor again this year. And again, high school baseball in Iowa. And you've put together an aggressive radio schedule.
We're going to be out there a lot.
You are going to be out there a lot. And then Tom Carrick at 11:35, some comings, some goings from the Hawkeye football roster. One you got to get really excited about. That kid from Northern Illinois is a plug and play. Craig wants to join the program. Craig, welcome to Miller and Condon on KXNO. How's things, Craig?
Hi, real good. How about you guys?
Doing fine.
Hey, the NCAA tournament now for basketball, does do the... places that were supposed to host games this year host them next? Is everything pushed back a year? Have you heard about that or not?
That's a great question, Craig. I mean, they'll be pushed back in the rotation quicker than they normally would have, mm-hmm. but there's already sites that are getting ready in advance of next year.
That's what I kind of thought. Yeah. That's what made me think about it.
Craig, that's a good question. I'm going to find that out for you.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, appreciate the call. That's a Chris Conley question. So if you've been awarded a site this year, mm-hmm. and obviously it didn't happen, we know that there's already been a lot of money spent by next year's host cities. Mm-hmm. So I would think that they would just skip over a year and be placed at the beginning of that first cycle. Doesn't that make sense?
I think it does. Next year, the sites include Wichita, Denver, San Jose, Raleigh. Like you said, a lot of these places already mm-hmm. have been in the works. 2022, they've also been awarded. The final four sites have been awarded through 2026. What does that mean for Atlanta mm-hmm. this year? Do they get parked in 2027 and just move it back that way? I think that would probably make the most sense.
Though. Or do you... Yeah, that's a good question. You know what? Note to self, Chris mm-hmm. Conley, we'll have him on early next week from the Iowa Event Center on both the Wolves and the Wild and, of course, what's going to happen. Because I know that they're bidding. You know, when Conley joined us, the COVID hit the fan, mm-hmm. I guess. That should be an expression.
The COVID hit the fan.
They were part of the bidding process already, so that's probably going
to
happen.
As we look forward to next college basketball season, mention Wichita. That's where I will be opening up as a number one seed in the first and second round.
So yep. They get the one, yeah, okay.
They'll go down to Wichita.
Now, are they playing a winner of a play-in game, or
do they?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Okay.
They're going to be the number one overall seed.
Oh, there's no question.
I mean, 30-2, probably.
Do you have more than two?
29-3.
I took a look at the schedule.
Oh, you did.
I went 30, yeah, anyways.
31-0. Uh-huh. Then the Target Center will be where they'll be for the Midwest Regional.
Nice.
Quick drive up 35, and we'll be there. And then quick trip over to Indianapolis for the Final Four. So they're not going to have to leave the Midwest. Set up pretty well for the Hawks next year.
Now, where were they going to be? This year, they were hoping for St. Louis, right?
St. Louis, yeah. Maybe yeah. Omaha, but probably St. Louis. Yeah. And
another easy drive.
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, it was the right choice. I mean, it was the right move. No, but I don't think anyone can dispute that.
No, not at all.
All right, so we will, that's the BMW guest list of Des Moines guest list. Halstead, Michael Barter from Johnson Dragons, the governor, will hear her press conference at 11, and then Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com at 11:35. We take you until noon. Everybody's off Monday, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Were you planning on coming in?
I wasn't, no.
Nor was I.
We're going to go see my parents for the first time this
weekend.
Are you? Yep.
When are you leaving?
Going to leave tomorrow morning.
Uh-huh. And spend the whole weekend?
We'll come back sometime Sunday. Mm-hmm. But going to go there. They have been begging and pleading to see the grandkids.
Yeah.
Everything appears to be okay, at least health-wise, from everybody in our family. So we're going to make the drive. We're going to go see my parents. And with it, they're going to be very pumped up. Not for me. Not for my wife.
No, to see the grandkids. Absolutely.
That's what it's all about, right?
Indeed, it is. I hope to be a grandfather one day. I'm old enough.
Grandpa Kenny.
Yeah. I think that would be a blast. I hope I get that opportunity. All right. It's 18 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Let's take our break. We'll come back. We will be joined by Alex Halstead. One trip down memory lane with Alex. We've lost both of our Cyclone voices.
We have, yeah.
The guys that help us out the most on Iowa State. Look, we're grateful for John Walters mm-hmm. and clearly for Eric Heff, but we can't, go to that well weekly, for crying out loud. These guys have a lot of things to do. Not that Halstead and Montz didn't, but they're on the beat, and it was good for them to join the program. We'd like to think, anyways, that we helped them like they helped us. But we've got a couple of people in mind that we hope to bring in and help us out on Iowa State during the fall and during the basketball season as well. We'll take time out. We'll come back with Alex Halstead. Miller and Condon are with you until noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station 1460, KXNO and 106.
Ken Miller, Trent Condon, Miller and Condon on 1460, KXNO.
And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. As we take you up until noon, 1 hour from now or thereabouts, Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com on Iowa. But right now, Alex Halstead joins us for the final time as he's no longer covering Iowa State. He's given up the gig at CycloneAlert.com, part of 24/7 Sports. Alex, thanks for coming on, and thank you for what you've done for Trent and I over the years. Going to miss you, Alex Halstead. How are you?
I'm doing good, yeah. Thanks for having me on. And, yeah, I've been on with Trent back into the Jimmy B and TC and then with you guys. So it's been several years, and it's been great to be on with you guys.
You've done a great job at that site. Who preceded you there? I can't think of his name. Is it a tall kid? Is it Todd something?
It was Trey Scott.
Trey, so, you know,
I started in 2014. I started at Scout.
Yep.
And I had actually replaced Trey at Scout, and I was at Scout for a couple years, and I replaced Trey because he went to cover Texas back where he had graduated from for 24/7 Sports. And then while I was at Scout, you know, Trey ended up going to our national team at 24/7 Sports and started up that Iowa State site kind of as on the side and just to get it going. And then I ended up taking that over, I think, in 2016. So it's been recruiting really since 2014 for me and at both those places, but mostly at 24/7 Sports.
And you've done such a nice job really building that. That's a loss. It's a loss for Iowa State, and this is no offense to anybody else covering them. I know they're trying, and they'll do their best. But, man, you put a lot of sweat equity into that site. Cyclone fans, they know that they could turn or log on to you and find out what you're doing recruiting-wise. Do you know who's going to replace you over there yet?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure quite yet. I know that as I was about to leave, they were in the stages of trying to kind of nail that down, and I think they were getting kind of close. But it's kind of a crazy time, obviously, right now in the world in general. So I think they were working through that. But you know, that was the plan, and I really enjoyed kind of building it up. You know, Trey had kind of started to build it up, and there were some members there. But really, in that time, by the time of last week or so, it grown substantially just in terms of subscribers and not even just that, but just interest in people coming in just to read stories, even if they weren't subscribers. So, you know, I think part of that is, you know, the increased kind of exposure of Iowa State of more and more people.
It true.
Seems like the fan base has kind of continued to grow in recent years. And the success always helps too, whether it was basketball and now football. I think that always kind of gets more and more people on board to get more interested, especially when you're in the weeds, like with recruiting. I think more people get interested, the more success a program has. So, you know, it was fun to kind of watch it build, and I think it can still kind of grow.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You've done a wonderful job, Alex. And as you look back upon it and your career, if you will, starting in college at Iowa State and working for the newspaper there, take us back at some of your favorite games. Favorite games to care that you followed, that you were a part of, sitting there as a working media member throughout, 8, 9, 10 years? How long was it?
Yeah, I started covering Iowa State, at least on the wrestling beat, for the Iowa State Daily. That was in 2011.
Okay.
As of now, I think I had covered 8 seasons of men's basketball and 7 football seasons. And so they've kind of worked in tandem a little bit. You know, football, the first several years, there weren't a whole lot of wins there, obviously. You know, you saw Al Mazzard's first 3 years. I think he won 8 games total, and then he won 8 games in his last year at Iowa State. So that was kind of the same similar trajectory for me, because I remember covering Al Mazzard's I was in Urbandale when he signed, but I was at the Iowa State Daily and ended up covering his career after college too. So it was kind of interesting, and that kind of followed my path a little bit as well, at least with the football program. And so you see that trajectory, and obviously there was a lot of basketball. In terms of specific games, I think covering the first Big 12 championship for basketball was I was at the Iowa State Daily at the time, and you know, that was kind of not that it's not still a big deal, but you know, it was new for everybody, I think, because it hadn't you know, really been something that's happening every other year like it kind of became. But I think that was big when we did a special section that night, so I remember covering that game. But there's been a lot of different ones as well. You know, obviously the games like storming when people stormed the field for the football games in the last few years, things like that. I think there's definitely a lot of games, but it'd be crazy to kind of go count how many games there were, because it doesn't seem like it's been 8 years for basketball and 7 for football, but it kind of goes by quickly.
Best quote, player-wise, basketball and football. Who did you look forward to speaking with, knowing that you were going to get a good quote?
Well, for basketball, I think it's definitely probably George and Yang, just because I think he would just kind of, you know, he would just kind of speak his mind, and you know, he obviously was good for funny quotes here and there. I think that kind of era of basketball really produced a lot, whether it was, you know, Niang is probably stands out, but, you know, they were all pretty charismatic in terms of, you know, pretty good talkers, and whether you go Naz Mitri-Long or Matt Thomas, even Monte Morris to a degree, I think that group is one that will be hard to replace. Just, you probably won't see that kind of collection at the same time. I mean, I think Tyrese Haliburton had a little bit of, like, the Naz personality in him, but he was obviously only in Ames for 2 years, and you didn't, and it was just kind of him. I think it'll be hard to kind of replace it where it's a collection of those guys. Football, so that one's a little tougher because you get so many players, and you don't, it feels like in football you don't get the same relationships as you do with the basketball players. Mm-hmm. And obviously Jeff Woody, when I started, was one that everybody always brought up, but I'm trying to think of someone a little bit more recently. I mean, David Montgomery wasn't always a great quote, and he kind of picked and chose his moments, but when he wanted to say something, I think he was pretty interesting.
Talking with Alex Halstead as he's hanging up the media pass credential and moving on to the marketing world here on Miller and Condon on KXNO. Alex, great memories, great thoughts, but there is the other side of it, and you were, for the most part, working for yourself, working on your own. You had bosses for 24/7. What were some of the tough moments, the tough parts of the job as you did it on a day-in, day-out basis?
Yeah, I think the two things, especially as I make the move, I think the one thing, and it's kind of it works both ways, but I, you know, because I'm working first Scout and then now 24/7 Sports, I've been working remotely, you know, unlike, say, the Register or Ames Tribune, which a lot of them are, you know, they're not necessarily going to the office all the time either, but they have an office to go to and all those things. And that was probably one of the bigger parts of this was the working from home all the time. You know, I've been working from home. I know everyone's getting used to it right now, but I've been working from home since 2014, you know, for 6 years, really. And so I think that was a big part, is just it kind of takes a toll on you to work from home for that long of a time and not really have an office to go to. So that was one thing I was kind of looking forward to with this. And then I think the other thing is, and this wasn't something that I disliked, but it is kind of just different, where you're kind of always on call when you're covering recruiting and that sort of thing, you know. It's kind of funny because I think my last day was last Friday, and that weekend on that Sunday, they got two commitments. And so it's just like, you never know when those commitments are going to come, whether it's 9 p.m. at night or, you know, or whenever. And there were a lot of different moments where I was like in random places when kids committed and you're trying to kind of scramble and figure out how to, at least, because, you know, people do expect you when they're subscribing to have something up on the site or, you know, kind of be on top of it. So those are probably the two things that were maybe more of the challenging sides of it. But, you know, there were a lot of parts that I liked that obviously made it difficult to kind of leave at the same time.
Has the recruiting interest peaked, or is it still? I totally missed the mark on recruiting. I thought it was a show killer. I thought nobody cares. We're going to have somebody on to talk recruiting. but you know what? I was dead wrong, because there's clearly an interest out there. But has it peaked yet, do you think? Or is recruiting, can it still get bigger?
Yeah, I think it's probably starting to peak, just in terms of there's only so much. That it's already become almost pretty much a year-round thing, at least for football. I mean, football, obviously the football season in general, you know, Matt Campbell alluded to this when we talked to him a few weeks ago, or back, it feels like a few weeks ago, it was probably back in April. You know, he said that, you know, football is really an 11-month sport now. You know, they get to go home typically for four or six weeks a year, but even in the summer, there are names doing, you know, voluntary workouts and stuff. And so that's become full round. And then even, you know, high school football to a large degree has, maybe not as much in Iowa where these kids are playing 3-4 sports, but in Texas, you know, their QB commit right now, Charles Wright, you know, he's down there working with a speed trainer and with a quarterback coach, you know, Jeff Blake, a former NFL quarterback, you know, he's down there doing stuff right now. He was doing stuff in the winter. And, you know, those kids are going to camps throughout the summer, whether it's school camps or Nike camps. At least when they can, when they're not canceled like they are right now. And so recruiting, there's always something to write about. I think that's one thing actually with 24/7 right now, is there was still stuff I could find to write about, because, you know, kids were committing, kids were talking to Iowa State, kids were getting offered. So I think it's peaked a little bit because it can't really extend more than 11 months that it's already become, but the interest is still there.
So as you look forward, you'll be able to sit in the stands now as a fan. You'll be able to do it in a different way. As you look at the future of Iowa State men's basketball and the football side of things, your thoughts, maybe take off your journalist hat for a moment and look at it from the fan perspective that you're going to have going forward.
Well, I think from the football side, you know, I think things are really set up well. And, you know, you even look at, I think it was funny this spring because it seemed like some fans on the board especially were starting to, like, you know, maybe get a little worried because they were seeing some of these guys commit without offers. And I think people for a little bit had these reflections back to this was kind of what Paul Rhodes was. But then now all of a sudden, you know, Tyler Moore, their commit from Johnson, their tight end commit, you know, he committed without any offers. Arizona State just offered him. You had Deion Silas, the running back, commit from Dallas and Florida, committed without any Power 5 offers. Now he's got TCU and a couple others have offered him. Their cornerback commit from Dallas and Florida didn't have any Power 5 offers. Now Duke and others are going after him. So it's like you're starting to see all these kids get, you know, Power 5 offers that Iowa State evaluated. And that's just one thing you just consistently see with Matt Campbell's staff is they've evaluated at a really high level, and I think they're really set up well moving forward, not only with what they return in 2020, but then, you know, what they still would have back in 2021, and then the recruiting they're doing. I think basketball is probably the one that's probably a little bit more worrisome just because, you know, they still got three scholarships right now. Mm-hmm. Is Tyler Harris even going to be eligible this year? And what happens if they have another down year, you know, because I think things were a little bit already on edge as we moved into the spring and talking to, you know, Steve Prohm and all them. So it's kind of like those programs are in two different spots right now, and it'll be interesting to see here in the next several months where both of them go.
Yeah, you just wonder with economics and the climate being what it is as far as budgets, you just wonder if coaches that normally would have been shown the door will get that extra year to, you know, just because of budgets just aren't there to pay off a coach or to bring in a new one and a new staff. Alex, again, best of luck to you, whatever you end up doing. We are going to miss you and sincere appreciation for what you did for Trent and Jimmy B and then for Trent and myself over the last few years. You've been a big asset to our program. Thank you, Alex Halstead. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was always great coming on with you, and I know it even probably helped a lot of people find my site. So I appreciate everything you've done, and I'm still here in Central Iowa, so I'll still see you guys around, whether it's at the racetrack maybe, or maybe yes, we can have some beers or something sometime.
That sounds good, Alex.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, Alex.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Take care. All right, that's Alex Halstead as he moves on from the Cyclone beat. That's a blow.
It is. It's another blow. One. We've yep. taken Mont's a couple of big ones.
Yeah, Mont's was doing a great job.
Yes.
Hey, look, they've got Travis Hines does a terrific job. Mm-hmm. Birchie and Petey registers in fine shape. But it's the recruiting side of things, right? Right. And the registers really have expanded their recruit. What's his name? Matthew Bain?
Matthew Bain, absolutely, yeah.
Uh-huh.
San Diego kid out here.
Oh,
in Des Moines.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah.
How did he get here?
Gannett.
Oh.
Yeah. Still has some pull. And, wow. Yeah, you wonder, you know, long-term with him, a California guy, is he going to live in Des Moines his whole life?
Oof.
But well, he's look, done an outstanding job.
Yeah, it has, yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. It's the recruiting angle at the register. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hardly used to get any space at all, right? It has grown so, so big. All right, we're going to switch gears entirely. We fully believe this. That high school baseball is going to have a lot of eyeballs on it mm-hmm. here starting in the middle of June. And look, it's always been, it's a niche, right?
It is, yep. It's a niche of a niche.
It's a niche of a niche, but this year's going to be entirely different.
And it's great. I talk about this quite often during the summertime. CIML as a whole is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter what sport you're talking about. We saw girls basketball 2 years ago, had 7 of the 8 teams in the biggest class, made it from the CIML. But on the boys' side, high school baseball, the depth of this conference year in and year out, how good it is, the high-level players, and the number of college guys that move on. And not just the guys that go to play for the University of Iowa, and there's always a ton of them, but just across. And you look at the sheer volume of high school baseball players that move on and play collegiately from the CIML. It is monstrous every single year. You're talking 30, 40, sometimes 50 kids that move on out of the senior class that are going on to play college baseball. It's high-level high school baseball. And we get it here, and you mentioned the eyeballs that people be watching. Hopefully we get some ears on it, too.
That's true.
Coming up this summer.
Sorry.
Yes,
that's what I meant to say, of course. Michael Barr, the head coach of the Johnson High School, the Dragons, will join us next. Our coverage is going to start on the 15th of June, right out of the chute. You've got Waukee and SEP, Southeast Polk, on a Monday night. We will come back. By the way, Des Moines City Schools apparently will make their decision in the next couple of days whether they're going to play or not. So,
and you mentioned that there was a school up for Belmont, my neck of the woods.
Yeah, tell me about Belmont Clemmie.
Belmont Clemmie, yep, that's a smaller school from the old North Iowa Conference, now the top of Iowa Conference, but pretty big hospital there too, and I saw some concerns about COVID-19 and where they fall.
Still a hot spot, according to the school board. It's a unanimous vote, too, not to play.
And we always played terrible in Belmont. They were never good, and we just always played terrible there. There was that one road trip, and it was our second longest road trip in our conference we took every year, and we played like crap, it seemed like, all 4 years.
So when you say second longest, give me an idea. A couple of hours? An hour?
About an hour 15, okay. Right in that range. North Iowa getting to Buffalo Center, that was about an hour 20, so those are our two long road trips that we took every year for basketball and baseball, at the very least.
We'll come back. We will talk high school baseball next. Miller and Condon take you until noon. Tom Kakert on Iowa at 11:35. Of course, he's with HawkeyeReport.com. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and
106.org.
Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. We'll hear from the governor, Kim Reynolds, coming up at 11 as we carry her daily press conference. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com at 11:35. But right now, as Trent and I have been saying last couple of days, it's going to be a lot of eyeballs, a lot of buzz for high school baseball. Practice can begin on June the 1st, with the season set to kick off or to start on the 15th of June. Michael Barta is the manager, the head coach of the Johnson Dragons squad, and he joins us. Coach Trent Condon, Ken Miller, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Hey, doing good, guys. Thanks for having me.
No, I appreciate you coming on. So it's going to be different, but it's baseball at the end of the day, right? So many things the same, but there are going to be different. When was there a point, Coach, that, you know, maybe back in April, early May, thought, you know what, I feel so bad for these kids, but I don't think that they're going to be able to, under any circumstances, pull this off. Were you ever at that point? And if so, when did you start to feel maybe the tide was turning?
Well, I think it's been a roller coaster, man. There'd be one day, one thing that I've done a lot over this time is I've met with my staff over Zoom, and we'd have days we'd get on there together, and we'd all be excited saying, hey, did you see this positive tweet that came out? And then the next day, you know, somebody's like, no chance. So, yeah, it's been up and down. So we're just on, you know, we're on cloud nine right now with it being approved.
You have about a week and a half here to get everything revved up. In the interim, though, I know that Johnson program, what you built there, Michael, and certainly the kids have been working out on their own. They've been doing some things. Any stories, any videos that some of your players had sent to you here over the last couple of months, different things that they've been doing to working on in case we did have this season?
Well, yeah, that's been what's so interesting about it is, you know, a lot of the kids have anticipated, hey, we could potentially come back and play. And so, you know, they've been trying to do some things on their own, you know, here and there. I mean, for coaches in Iowa, we've been just basically able to kind of Zoom with them once in a while and say, what's going on, guys? How you doing? But, it's kind of fun. Once in a while, you'll wake up to a text and you have some kid hitting with dad or playing catch. Mm. I mean, for some families, it was kind of probably fun to have dad and son back in the backyard playing catch like the old days, you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know. So, yeah, it was fun to see some text like that every once in a while.
Coach, you know, I know in football there's most staffs have a get-back coach, if you will. Will you have someone on your staff that, all the new rules, the stipulations, the do's and the don'ts, and paying more attention to the don'ts, will you have somebody assigned to your staff, like you can't share water bottles, those type of things? Will that be on someone's list of things that they have to do?
Oh, baby, yeah. I mean, we already met what was it, two nights ago, right after the state produced the June 1st list, and we went through every single thing, making notes. I already have an email that I sent out to my parent group saying, hey, here's what the state has sent out, and we are going to make sure. You know, I think I've not been able to have competition in my life for the last couple of months. I've been going nuts. Yeah. So not only do I want to kick people's butt this year, I also want to make sure we are the safest program around. So we are going to get after all these guidelines from the state and make sure we are holding up that end of the bargain. I'm sorry I'm talking so much, but I also have my own situation at home. I have a daughter that would be one of the few young people with, you know, an immune deficiency. She's got kind of a random disease. So I have to be really careful myself. So we're going to make sure we're extremely safe over at Johnston, no doubt.
You mentioned Michael. We're talking with Michael Barta, head coach of Johnston Baseball, that the state handed down a number of different things that have to be done. Not throwing the ball around in the infield after an out, things like that. No throw down after a strikeout from the catcher. Keeping the ball in as few hands as possible. And the way you guys warm up before each and every inning, you do it completely different than seemingly anybody else, certainly in Central Iowa, and the way you warm guys up. Are you going to have to adjust what you're doing even in-game and getting guys ready between innings?
Yeah, I think there'll be just a ton of adjustments. You know, you mentioned in-game stuff. You know, we'll have, obviously the practice stuff, you know, taking temperatures, keeping our gear clean. But I think where we're at as high school coaches, and I've sat in a couple of Zooms with high school coaches from around the state, I think we're at the point of we will do anything to get back on the field and return to some structure and get to play the game we love and, and our passion and all these kids that now have an opportunity to kind of, you know, finish out their careers. I just think, you know, we're granted this opportunity by our state and our administrators. I mean, if you want me to do backflips before the game, I'll do it.
Yeah, I think it's great, Coach. And you felt so bad for the kids that, you know, couldn't walk to get their diploma or couldn't have their prom, those type of things. And for these seniors to be able to be, you know, to be granted this, I think it's a gift. I really do, too. And there's going to be a lot of eyeballs on you. The anticipation for high school baseball in the state of Iowa is at an all-time high. Fair to say you've never seen anything like this.
Oh no! I mean, but it's great, right?
That's awesome.
Hey, it puts the word out about our state. I think we have such great talent around the state. We have coaches that are really pushing the issue on trying to stay, you know, up to date on what's new and trying to advance the sport. I mean, like, I talk to the coaches around the state. I'm just so impressed with the guys that I have in my league at how they are staying on top of the game and moving it forward. So I think it's great. Iowa is in the spotlight, and we'll do things right. We have a great association. I mean, I just think this is going to be great for our state. But also, like you said, for the kids. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but you know, yeah, getting married and having kids were, you know, the top moments of my life. But right there underneath those is my years playing baseball and high school sports. And if you had to tell me that I wouldn't have had a senior year to play, I mean, oh, my God, that would have destroyed me. Those are some of my best memories. And so I'm so happy we're moving forward with this and thinking about the kids. And not only that, but, you know, the things sports provide to our kids in our life, the structure, the daily routine, the dealing with adversity. I mean, there's so much sports provide outside of just the game. And so I just, like I said, I'm in such a great mood right now with this stuff, you know?
Well, as we look forward to this season, you lost a ton of talent off of last year's team. Three guys went over to the University of Iowa. No surprise, Peyton Williams during his freshman campaign, the shortened one here this spring, he was putting up good numbers with the Hawkeyes. But as you look at this year's team, a quick overview here in our final minute of the Dragons this season and with it, well, the CIML is always tough, but who else do you expect to be there towards the top?
Well, I mean, our league and you know, the schedules may change, you know, due to, you know, how it's a shortened season. But in our league, we got the two Ankeny schools, Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial, which return a lot, and I really respect their coaches. And then, obviously, you got Urbandale and Dowling and then Ames. So our league is legit. And so we know that we've got our work cut out for us. We know that we lost a lot. And I mean, we're going to battle. We're going to get after it starting June 1st, and we're just going to continue to try to get better every day. And we're okay with being a little bit of a sleeper. We're okay with that. We'll be ready by the end of the year.
Barta, you guys are never asleep.
Never asleep. You got the bullseye. Who's kidding who here? Hey, Coach, listen, thanks for coming on. A lot of people are going to be paying attention. Obviously, we will. Trent will see you a couple of times. He's got you on the schedule a few times this year. But I think it's great, Coach. Some positive news came out of this, and we all needed it, especially the sports fans. Best of luck. Be safe. Best of luck to your daughter as well as we all get through this. Thank you, Coach Barta.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you. Michael Barta, head coach of the Johnson Dragons. Favorite to win? Urbandale, slight favorite?
Urbandale also lost a ton off of last year's team. Waukee going to be up there. I like the Southeast Polk team. And that's another thing. I got to start digging in a little bit deeper here. Urbandale's won the last two, even if they lost six starters off of last year's team. The fun thing about that Urbandale squad, a lot of those kids were the kids that were part of the Little League teams from the last couple of years,
and
you're seeing the Johnston team that made it a few years ago. Now they're starting to trickle, and it's just that trickle down that happens. Mm-hmm. It's another fun part of this, and just take a look at the Iowa baseball roster and the number of kids from the CIML. That shows you how good this conference is.
Well, you'll be able to hear them a bunch. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursday games, weekend games, the Brett Prongy Classic. You're going to carry some of those. A full list will be posted, I'm sure, at KXNO.com in the weeks ahead. Speaking of being ahead, Kim Reynolds joins the program. We'll carry her press conference lead off the 11 o'clock hour. 1460, 106.3 KXNO.